Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
I thought we played really well tonight. You know, obviously only 24 points, but our defense played fantastic ball where we didn't feel like we had to press.
Wants to throw, fires one into the end zone, caught. It is a touchdown. Stephon Diggs, touchdown Buffalo. An 8-yard shot from Josh Allen. He threw it on the money for the Buffalo touchdown. Pressured, moved to his right, out of the pocket, looks into the end zone, can't find anybody. Chased to the sideline, fires into the end zone, and it is caught. Gabe Davis makes the catch in the end zone.
Those points are important, right? I mean, when you get the ball down there in the red zone, you got to cash in and done that.
Josh gives it to Devin Singletary, cruises into the end zone, touchdown Buffalo. A 1-yard touchdown run by Motor Singletary.
A little mini bye here. Good timing for our guys, getting guys healthy.
He's a hell of a player. Definitely adds to our offense as far as like weapon wise, and he's a hell of a guy. You know, we got some guys that make a lot of plays right now too. So I can always say it's never too many weapons. But I'm gonna try my hardest. We'll see. He's jumping around, so you know, I gotta put the bug in his ear.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Friday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Buffalo Bills Football Friday is presented by Topps Markets. Rush to Topps Red Zone for winning savings. And by Svedka Vodka, an official sponsor of the Buffalo Bills.
Hey, it is a victorious Bills Football Friday for the third time this season. Thank you again for giving me a stress-free weekend and a win before Sunday's action. And hey, that was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
I'm not sure there's a greater joy in my life now than watching the Patriots look bad. It's a blast. And watching the offense look as bad as it did last night. And hearing Patriots fans, this is Jeremy, hearing Patriots fans booing their team, booing the play of the offense, booing coaching decisions is music to my ears. I cannot get enough of that. That was easy last night. Got to tell you, I was a little nervous. A little nervous all day long, really. I don't know if it was about because I was just waiting for the game or I was just nervous about the game. Wasn't really worried when they hit the screen pass touchdown. New England's offense sucks. Excuse me, stinks. So I was worried. I was nervous, blah, blah, blah. And then they played the game. And then I watched New England's offense. And I felt completely fine about the game. When the Bills went up 17-7, the game was basically over. And the last touchdown drive, make it 24-7, was just, okay, bring on the Jets. It was fun. It was really a lot of fun. And a big win. It was a really big win.
It's a big win. There are a lot of takeaways, a lot of good takeaways. You know, in the open there, Josh says, only scored 24 points, but yeah. Blah, blah, blah. And I like how he says that because, you know, 24 is kind of a pedestrian day for this offense. I'm not here to say 24 was bad at all last night. You know, the way the game went, 24 was totally good enough. It was always going to be good enough.
17, by the way, came on the first three drives. Then it was 7 the rest of the way.
Yeah, so, you know, they didn't exactly light them up like they have in the past.
Right.
To punt is disappointing. But, no, they moved the ball routinely, right? Yeah. Like, every single time they got the ball pretty much, I mean, not every time, but they were moving the ball up and down the field. And to do it without Deion Dawkins, like, that's an absence that you noticed.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how many times I watched the left tackle on a passing play. It's probably the most I've ever done it because
he struggled early in the game.
He did. And then there was a smooth spot right before the fumble where I think I might have even said, like, feel like he's playing pretty well. I haven't thought about him in a good ten minutes, right. And then the fumble shows up. And the rest of the game was spent watching, just making sure that Josh got out of the game alive, because it was a challenge over there without Dawkins.
It was, but to their credit, I think New England ended up with two sacks. It was a challenge, and we talked a lot about Spencer Brown and how would he be able to handle Matthew Judon. Judon had no sacks. He had one quarterback hit the entire night. Now, that's not just pass protection. Josh is getting the ball out. He's getting it out fast. He's throwing the short passes. He's negating the potential for the Patriots' pass rush. I thought, he played the proverbial take what they're giving you game, and he was patient, and he was efficient. Efficient sometimes, when we talk about a team being efficient, it seems like it's a backdoor slap at them. But he was efficient. He had the one fumble, but no picks. He played a clean game. They were good in the red zone. They moved the ball enough on the ground to keep New England honest. And when Josh had to make some key throws, third down conversions, of course, we'll talk about the touchdown pass to Gabe Davis was, I don't even say wow anymore, because it's Josh Allen. That's just, right? That's Herb Street and Michaels are going gaga over that. They must have showed the replay 27 times. I'm just watching. Yeah, it's Josh Allen. He makes that throw. So I liked his game. They did enough to keep New England's pass rush from getting from him. They balanced in the running game great. They still don't have anybody to cover Stephon Diggs. I mean, there are a lot of things to like. And the defense. The defense without Von Miller and Trey White still not playing a full game, 100% snaps. The defense was dominant. They had one bad play all night. One. The screen pass touchdown. And that's it. I mean, they harassed Mac Jones without their best pass rusher. Shut down the running game, for the third straight game. I'm going to say it again. I think people overreacted to the run game defense against the Jets and then the Vikings. The last three games, Cleveland, Detroit, New England, shut them all down. Couldn't ask for anything more other than not overturning Jordan Poyer's interception.
Yeah.
No, I thought the defense played extremely well last night.
Got pressure. Yeah.
I did. Rousseau came back.
Rousseau had a great game.
Shaq Lawson looks well.
He looks great.
Yeah. And yep. Edmonds
back
is having his best season. That's right.
I am, maybe today's not the day to do it. I'm jumping on the extend Tremaine Edmonds train.
Well,
I'm on it.
Why not?
I mean, he's on the train.
He has earned it. He's doing the thing that we all thought was, for me, it was never he's not good. It was Milano makes the splash plays. You see him make big plays every now and then. And I don't mean just, a turnover, whether it's dropping back in coverage. I thought Edmonds last night, at least, two or three times, diagnosed the run play really well, hit the gap, and stuffed it. I thought he's having his best season, and you can see the difference in the defense when he's back in the middle of it. Yes, every game he plays, his value goes up. He just has earned himself an extension, if the Bills are willing to do it. It's feeling really good, after the loss to the Vikings and the Jets, right? Getting a little nervous. We looked at the schedule, said, okay, hold serve against Cleveland and Detroit. They did, then get into the critical stretch. Step one, done. And step one done, 14 points won't sound like a convincing win. Patriots never had a shot in that game.
It's a convincing win.
Yeah.
Yep.
We felt like a four touchdown game, like a 28-point win, even though it was only 14.
And if you love the run game, you got it.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't great, but whatever. They did it enough.
Yeah.
They ran the ball.
Well,
what the run game did, Jeremy, it wasn't huge chunks, but it was made for second and four, third and one. I mean, it put them in shorter distances for their passing game.
What it got them was all the throws that used to go to Beasley for those six-yard plays. And I watched the Patriots playoff game yesterday as well. Watch the whole thing condensed, the perfect game, Bills-Patriots. Mm-hmm. And it struck me how often the Bills had 5, 7, and 9-yard chunk plays in the passing game, whether that's McKenzie or whatever. Beasley was involved there as well, and they were constantly in really favorable down and distance on second and third down in that game.
Yep.
And the run game gave them that. The other thing the run game gave them was, I think, and since James Cook has started to get involved in the offense with the run game, he gives them juice.
Mm-hmm.
When they hand it off to Cook and he hits the second level, if you're a defender, you've got to be nervous. He might blow by you. He gets that one big vertical run, and I just don't think Singletary hits that run the same way.
Nope. And he's elusive, too.
He is.
There were runs where he had to. It wasn't just a clear, great block, big hole. where he had to kind of juke and jive a little bit. And he's very elusive,
and he's not afraid. He'll be given a lot of credit for being fast and a breakaway guy. He's not afraid to hit the hole hard and stick his nose in and take a big hit. And he's not exactly a big back, but he certainly doesn't run like a small back. So good for Cook. Also, Allen targeted him six times and he had six catches. Singletary, not so much.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's necessarily that Cook passes Singletary here, but the shared backfield of Cook and Singletary, it sure looks like it has arrived.
Yeah.
And multiple times, you know, Dorsey, they did dress up the offense quite a bit. With Hines moving in motion, they had two running back sets an awful lot. I think ideally I'd still like to have, you know, three receivers and one running back more often. But still, it was more of a dressing up of the offense, whether that's a full week to game plan and practice. You know, the offense looked a lot cleaner than it had in weeks outside of the fumble because of the left tackle situation and drops early, right? Yeah. Knox had a drop early.
Diggs had one.
Diggs had one
would
late.
Have been a first down. Yep. Davis, I think.
Other
Davis
than drops,
one.
It looked pretty good. And Allen just, you know, throwing it 60 yards on the run, floating it into Davis, running to the sideline. He just looked like himself.
Yeah.
And, man, that is the most welcome sign of them all.
Good. So he's got to be, hopefully, this means he's feeling better about
his
elbow. He's got
to be feeling better. And now he gets a full, like, 10-day week.
Yeah.
Like, getting to this extended little mini bye was always, as soon as he got hurt, like, ooh, boy, can you get to that? And they went 3-0 getting there with his elbow being managed. He threw in pregame, first time he's done that in a couple weeks. All right, think about that. Your quarterback is protecting his elbow so much he doesn't throw in pregame. And now, you know, he's throwing the ball around Gillette. So, okay, great. He looked good to great. And, man, I'm in such a such a much better place that they got that win and, you know, sets up a couple big home games.
Yeah.
Now, finally, at home against these division opponents.
Feels like forever.
It does feel like a long time.
Yeah, it was.
And the game moved. I mean, that's
Vikings
part of it.
Game was the last home game. That's what going to be a month ago.
Yep.
No, I thought, like I said, credit to Dorsey. I know Nate talked about this a little bit on the postgame show. He put together a nice game plan, like you mentioned, whether it was personnel usage. There were times where two of the three backs were on the field at the same time. Some of those, though, Hines, I think, was lined up as a wide receiver. But the way they used their personnel, the way they threw some different looks at them. The working in the running game. The red zone was 3 for 3. You know, they got inside the 20, and they had a nice combination of productive runs setting up Josh Allen touchdown passes. Well, two of the three red zone touchdowns were Josh Allen touchdown passes. The one to Diggs, well done, of course, by Stephon Diggs getting open, beating the coverage. And the one by Davis, which is still, I mean, it's really nuts. The whole play, it's vintage Josh Allen as he, you know, throws on the run, shakes off a sack attempt. I didn't think he was going to get the ball off. I thought for sure he was going to be out of bounds and have to throw it away. And then watching some of the angles on it from behind the play, hard to even see Davis back there because there were, what, two or three Patriots defenders back there. But that play he made, that throw is vintage him and has just got to deflate an opposing defense so much. You know, it's not enough. You think you got him sacked. He breaks it. You think, well, he's just going to throw it away. He's running out of space. He's going to be out of bounds. And he nails you for throwing back against his body for a touchdown pass. That's so heartbreaking for a defense to do everything you do, and the guy just beats you anyway. I mean, that's, you know, somebody tweeted it out. Maybe it was you or Nate or somebody about how, you know, in New England, the feeling is like, this is what Brady and the Patriots used to do to the Bills. Whatever. Beat them, and the quarterback makes throws and makes plays, and doesn't matter. Even though he didn't have a great night, he still put up 24. They put together two long touchdown drives, including a 94-yard touchdown drive. I mean, it was incredible.
Which is something we saw early in the season, not just on big plays, but, right, there's the Gabe Davis 98-yarder, but it happened where a couple times earlier in the season, they would drive 99 yards, 94 yards.
It's the fifth drive, well, including Gabe's, right. Fifth drive, touchdown drive of 90 or more yards this season.
It's pretty good.
Most since 91.
Yeah.
And again, a nice mixture. You know, the biggest play of the night was the bomb to Diggs that the touchdown was wiped out by the Tommy Sweeney holding penalty. I mean, there weren't, right, a lot of big threat. Big throws, big plays.
No, it was a lot like earlier in the season where Allen was just finger quotes, take what the defense is giving you.
Yep.
There were not a lot of big throws down the field. It was just finding the spots, finding McKenzie.
But if that's what it
and
took,
Diggs,
he
right.
nickel and dimed him to death. Great.
He did. And maybe it jumps out at anybody else. Like, that's why Gabe Davis only gets two catches for 15 yards. If it's going to be a shorter passing game, that's generally not the spot that Davis gets his targets. He's going to get him down the field, and if they're taking away down the field and forcing Allen to throw underneath, well, that's the Beasley role that's been missing. And yesterday they get, of course, Diggs to do that. Diggs does everything. The running backs in that respect, Knox there as well.
McKenzie too.
McKenzie
now
for sure.
has had good back-to-back games. As maybe he becomes a little bit more of a factor in the offense in the Beasley type role.
And it's nice for him to do it against New England where he had his one breakout game. And I saw Tyler Dunn pointing out that McKenzie was courted by the Patriots in the offseason. He had seven teams that were interested in him. He comes back to the Bills to stay as a part of this offense, whether he's promised a bigger role when he comes back, whatever. When he re-signed here, didn't we all think McKenzie probably could have got a little more money somewhere else? Yep. He stays. And he tells Tyler Dunn, one of the teams that was after him was right there for him, for his services, New England.
Right.
And it's nice to see him burn New England.
Yeah. Well, and it's always nice to beat the New England Patriots.
It is wonderful.
It is such a great feeling. It really is. I mean, and again, it's not just beating. Sure, the no-punt game was a blast and, you know, blowing them out, putting up 47 points. I don't know that Belichick threw a tablet or a phone or anything last night. But to beat him is still extremely satisfying and will be till the day I die because of what happened when Brady was there. But also, Jeremy, to see them look so bad on offense. They don't have a quarterback.
No, and they don't have a quarterback, and they don't have a receiver they can count on. The same way that the Bills count on Diggs. And a lot of these teams have a number one receiver. As I listened to the Six Rings postgame show.
Oh, my God, you're kidding me. That's what they call it?
That's what they call it.
I'm going to barf.
That's what they call it.
Oh, dear. God,
the
no.
six,
Come on, really?
I swear
That's,
to you.
That is the ultimate arrogance.
The Six Rings postgame show.
It's okay for Belichick to name a boat or something like that. After,
yes.
Not a postgame show.
You are the postgame show, fellas.
Wow.
The Six Rings postgame show.
They renamed themselves the Six Losses postgame show
please,
just for last
please
night.
Please tell me there's a casino named Six Rings Casino maybe and they're just naming rights? No.
Okay. Now, they were talking about the receiver conversation. How all these other teams have at least one great receiver they can go to. And New England's not close.
No.
They've got nice players, a couple nice receivers, you know, whether you like Jacoby Myers or, well, I don't know who else.
But that's the point, right?
They're just missing a lot.
The Bills overhauled their receiving core, including the signature move of Stephon Diggs. Miami, the signature move of the offseason was what? Add Tyreek Hill to Jalen Waddle for Tua Tagovailoa. You know, what did the Patriots do? They traded for Devontae Parker. You know, and the guys, the rest of the guys, yeah, all right. Myers, Bourne, Aguilar was a big signing for them. He's nothing special. They spend all the money on two tight ends. They never throw him the ball. I mean, I'm not going to say I feel bad for Mac Jones. I don't think I feel bad for anybody wearing a Patriot uniform. But in terms of, and then you bring in, you know, now you've got what? Co-offensive coordinators or whatever the hell's going on with Patricia and Joe Judge. I mean, it's a bad offense. They don't have a dynamic threat in their passing game. And the guy who is coaching the offense or doing the play calling, you're just setting Mac Jones up to just be a failure this season. And he's regressed. He has not looked as good as he did in year one. And I think about the receiver. Again, Diggs' numbers were not eye-popping. But when you needed him to come up with a big catch, I'll have to go check to see, what do you have, seven catches?
Seven for 92 and a
I got to see how many were for first downs.
It felt like he had 10 catches or 12 catches.
And again, it was, like you said, Joe, it was 92 yards. But third and four, Diggs. You know, third and whatever, third and medium, Diggs. Touchdown, Diggs. When they needed the one play, I don't even know where it was. Maybe it was an and one, and they showed a tight formation, and
yes.
Diggs on the outside,
it
and
was,
threw him the ball.
It was my favorite play of the whole game.
It was great.
It was a third and one, and they
and
bring,
they're thinking you're going to run,
they
right?
bring in big people,
yep.
and it's Allen turn, Diggs on an in-cut real quick.
Piece
it,
of cake.
It was great.
Yeah, I love that. And that's what I said. He's got... They can't cover him, and even on a night when he wasn't just blowing people away with, you know, big, huge touchdown catches or big receptions, he's making the catches here and there that are continuing drives, right, that are allowing them to get a first down on third down and move the ball further. And as I said, you know, he makes the play in the end zone, beats the coverage, and he's open for the touchdown. So he, you know, he continues. He's got 10 touchdown catches already. In 12 games.
He had another one that was called back that was over the top. His numbers would have looked insane had that counted without a holding penalty.
That's a lot. 10 and 12 games. What is he up to, 91 catches already? And there's still 5 games left in the season. So it's, you know, Diggs is the gift that keeps on giving.
The only play he had, and maybe this, does a touchdown count as a first down?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Because a lot of the scoring, the efficiency scoring includes touchdowns and first downs. So okay. I think touchdowns are first downs.
Then every reception he had went for a first down.
Wow. That's great.
There you go.
All seven.
Seven catches for 7 first downs.
And wasn't that the difference? I mean, you just said it. It's the difference between the Patriots and the Bills. When Allen's getting pressured and the ball's got to go somewhere that's contested, there's Diggs. Or if you've got to quickly find somebody that's open, just stare at one guy. He knows Diggs is going to get open right away. And Mac Jones does not have a guy like that where ball's got to come out and I know where the ball is going. He's scrambling around, looking around to 5 different
Man,
guys without
a couple
throwing it.
Of those run play, those plays where he's running around. I mean, he looked like what, a college quarterback in his first start.
The one play where Jordan Phillips ends up getting injured, I think, on that play.
Yeah.
Next Gen Stats said he scrambled 66 yards. I mean, right? He's just running around. That's, you know what, that's the play you make on the playground when you're kids and you're just running around waiting for somebody to try and get open. And that was one of my, at some point we can do our, quote, favorite moments of the game, you know, the misery Patriot moments. He runs around all over the place and then just decides I'm throwing the ball to the end zone for a receiver who was literally standing out of bounds on the play. I think it was Devontae Parker.
Yeah, it was.
He just threw the ball. I got to get rid of it. I'm throwing it in the end zone. And the only guy who has a chance to make a play is a Bills player because your target is standing out of bounds. It's great. It's absolutely great. He was harassed. He was pressured. He threw inaccurate passes. He threw some balls that leave guys. I know the one play where Hamlin crushed. Who was it? Who did he hit and he got ejected for? I forget. Was that Parker? I don't remember.
No, Jacoby Myers.
Myers. He made some passes that left his guys hung out to dry. And just watching the struggles of the New England offense, I was never really worried about the passing game. Was worried about Ramondre Stevenson having a big night. And, you know, they, I think he averaged 5 yards a carry, but they fell behind. He didn't get a ton of carries, and the run defense was good. They never gave up big plays. It was great. Absolutely wonderful evening. And at the end of the day, to the Bills' credit, I don't know who asked, somebody brought this up in the postgame, one of the press conferences. I think it was with Josh. Yeah, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, 3 wins in 12 days, and none of them were at home. That's good. You know, I don't care who the opponent is. You beat 3 teams in 12 days, 1 on a neutral field, 2 on the road, and one of them is a big division game. With the snowstorm, with the injuries, with what, weeks where there were limited practices because of illnesses running through the building? Fantastic. That's really a great accomplishment. And they put themselves back in position in the division. And hopefully, if the Bengals beat Kansas City, they would be back in the, Bills would be back in the 1 seed Sunday night. Can't say enough about this stretch of football for them. Really good.
Yeah. And this one wasn't even like the others where you gutted out a win. This was, you're better than that team and you looked every bit of it.
Yeah, there was like, never a threat.
Right, we know they're better than the Lions and they didn't really look that much better than the Lions. We know they're better than the Browns and it was a bit of a struggle. This was, okay, you put down an inferior opponent. They're above 500. You know, they're having a nice season for, you know, what they can do. And you just looked the part. I mean, I needed it bad. I needed them to just look better than this team because this is a team they have dominated, and it's not the same level of complete devastation that it's been the last two, but they dominated.
But you still, if you're in New England, you're still looking at it going, how the hell do we match up against, how do we beat this team?
Yeah, not
right,
even close.
It's not 47-17 or whatever the score was in Foxborough last year. But again, if you're a Patriots fan, you're looking at it going, here are the Bills. Put your right arm above your head.
And you're far away.
And here are the Patriots. Put your left arm down at like your belly button or something. And you're not only are you far away, when are you getting better? How are you getting better? You don't have an answer at quarterback.
If you do have an answer at quarterback, you might want to find out with a competent offensive coordinator.
Right.
And yeah,
they don't do many favors.
That might be a step.
Yeah.
And weapons. That'd be a step.
Or an offensive coordinator. That's actually an offensive coordinator.
All right, we're going to get a break in, and we're opening up the phone lines. Let's go. Okay, maybe you got, you know, not much sleep. Don't care. Down your coffee drink.
Too many minutes spent with the Six Rings postgame show for me. The Six Rings postgame show.
That's still amazing. I can't believe they actually. That's great. They're just so arrogant.
It's unbelievable.
They're just so
arrogant. Can you imagine not being mortified that that's what you call it?
Yeah. I'm not sure. Well, yeah, I'm trying to think if like the program director came, but, hey guys, we're changing the name to your post game show. Oh yeah, what are we calling it now? The Six Rings Post Game Show. Oh, that's the height of arrogance.
Yep.
I won't say it. 803-0550 to join us. Let's go, folks. Phone lines are open. We want to get into your calls because we got a whole bunch of time to do that today. What stood out to you from last night's win over the New England Patriots? We have a lot to get to still that we even touch on in the first segment. So, yeah, we'll do that. Sal's going to join us this morning at 8. John Murphy at 9:30, which means lots of time for us to talk about the game with you. It is Football Friday on WGR. It is presented by Topps Markets. Rush to the Topps Red Zone for winning savings. And by Svetka, an official sponsor of the Buffalo Bills.
Fakes a handoff, wants to throw, fires one into the end zone. Caught! It is a touchdown. Stephon Diggs, touchdown Buffalo. An 8-yard shot from Josh Allen.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
He threw it on the money for the Buffalo touchdown. Fakes a handoff, wants to throw, fires one into the end zone. Caught! It is a touchdown. Stephon Diggs, touchdown Buffalo. An 8-yard shot from Josh Allen. He threw it on the money for the Buffalo touchdown. Pressured, moves to his right, out of the pocket, looks into the end zone, can't find anybody. Chased to the sideline, fires into the end zone, and it is caught. Gabe Davis makes the catch in the end zone. Josh waiting for the snap. Motion Singletary to the right side. Josh gives it to Devin Singletary, cruises into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo. A 1-yard touchdown run by Motor Singletary.
There you go, your three touchdowns, all red zone touchdowns, by the way. And Murph, of course, on the call. We'll make those some of the highlights of the game. And that would be brought to you by Northland Workforce Training Center. We have the training. All we need is you.
If you bet a John Brown anytime touchdown, you didn't get it.
He was on the field.
He was on the field.
Yeah.
He was on the field. Signed, dressed, and playing.
Had 12 snaps. He didn't have a touch, though, right? I don't even think he had a target, but he had 12 snaps.
But if you bet Marcus Jones at plus 15,000
man
for first touchdown score, you did cash on that.
Wow. That is pretty nice.
That would have been 100 to win $15,000 if you had him.
I take it you didn't.
No.
No. I mean, okay. He had that was his first snap on offense ever.
Yeah. Henceforth, the odds.
Yeah.
Let's get connected with our fans. Brought to you by the law firm of Gelber and O'Connell. We take your personal injury case personally. Mike in East Aurora, welcome. You're on WGR.
Hey, good morning.
How are you? Good, thank you.
So, great game. Just want to say one observation and then a question. You can totally tell the difference how our defense plays when Tremaine Edmonds is on the field. And obviously with Matt Milano at the same time, those guys are both huge difference makers. And this catch rule thing is really kind of annoying me. I could have swore years ago they changed it where if you survive the ground, the ball can move a little bit as long as it doesn't touch the ground. Am I wrong there?
I'm not even going to try and interpret the catch rules. I'm not trying to be a jerk, Mike. I thought, to me, that's a catch.
The catch rule.
The ball never touched the ground.
It's had a bad couple of weeks. There was a play in which game was it over the weekend, Joe? A guy ran and took three steps and then went to the ground. Was it a Bucs player? There's, of course, it happened to the Patriots in Minnesota.
Hunter Henry
was not given credit for a catch that everybody seemed to think he made that catch.
Yeah.
CeeDee Lamb didn't get one because his toe hit and then the heel, not tap the toe, then the heel.
Yeah.
And the ball can't, right? The ball can move if you've got your hands under it, but in this case, he was out of bounds when the ball moved. Is that the problem? Because honestly, he never really lost possession. He caught the ball, 1 foot in, 2 foot in, going to the ground. Ball moves, but his hands are underneath. I mean, it never hit the turf. So, yeah, I don't know, Mike. It's, players say it, coaches say it. Nobody knows exactly what a catch is. Of course, this is an interception, but nobody knows exactly what a catch is. You just wait for them to review it, and then you flip a coin because you have no idea what they're going to call. And that was one of those instances. I thought that should have been an interception, which, by the way, was a hell of a play by Poyer to close on that and get the extension, the arms out, to make that catch. I thought it was a great play for him, and yeah, I think that should be a catch.
That's one thing. He could say a million things about Mac Jones and how he managed the game well, and he does some nice things. When he gets running like that, what a difference between him and Allen. I know Allen's thrown a couple picks the last month, but when Allen gets on the move, don't you move to the front of your seat thinking like, here we go.
Something big's coming.
Something's coming.
That's right.
And with Mac Jones, it's just...
he's running for his life. It's not he's creating because something big is going to happen. It's, oh my God, I got to move.
And maybe his receivers are letting him down and maybe not as used to scramble drill kind of stuff because he's not supposed to be doing that. But what a drop-off that is between those two in that department alone. And so much of the game is played like that now. Right. Allen, Mahomes, the best do it like that.
Yeah, there were times where Mac Jones escaped what would have been sacks. I think he only had... was it one sack? I think the Bills had one sack last night. But they had pressures galore, even without Von Miller. So to Mac Jones's credit, he's able to make guys miss or, you know, get out of the pocket to extend plays. They don't finish plays when they extend plays. Or if they do, you know, it's a three-yard throw. Joe, can you do me a favor? Can you check and see? I don't know where you even find this. How many throws he made, what, 10-plus air yards, 15-plus? I'm not talking completions. I'm talking attempts, 15-plus air yards. He averaged 2.6 air yards per completion last night. It's another thing. Third and long, and they're throwing at or behind the line of scrimmage, and the fans are booing. It's a beautiful thing.
I found the play, the catch rule thing. It was a Saints play.
Yeah.
Guy gets 1-2 feet, 1-2 knees, goes to the ground, has it in his lap, and they call it not a catch. Like, the catch rule, we're going through it again. I look forward to the playoffs when this becomes a big deal, right? Like, somebody's going to get screwed on not a catch in the playoffs.
The problem is, how many times over the years have we said we're going through what's a catch?
Yep.
803-0550 to join us.
And now it's being ruled on by sky judges.
Right. That was upstairs.
That's not just the official doesn't have conclusive evidence. We've gone right past that whole system to the guys in New York just said it's not a catch.
Yeah, remember, they called it an interception. That was overturned on review, which is even more frustrating. Walter in Toronto, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Thanks for calling.
We've had two decades of losing to this team, and we've had a lot of success the last few years, and I'm grateful for that. But to me, the sweetest moment was the last 2 minutes of the game yesterday. I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. I mean, you're down only by two scores. You got three timeouts, and you basically just concede, like you let Allen take a knee and you don't call a timeout. And, if I were a Patriots fan, which God forbid I'm not, I would be going crazy. I mean, even in a losing, you know, baseball game, you still run out the ground balls, right? And to see the team just kind of say, you know, we give up, let's just get into the locker room. I mean, to me, that's as sweet as it gets. But I'm optimistic for the future, and we'll get the Jets in a week's time. Have a good day, guys.
Belichick was asked about that, Walter, postgame. I was listening on the Six Rings postgame show, and he basically said, I felt it was the best decision for our football team.
He said there was a game earlier this season against Baltimore.
Mac got hurt.
He got hurt in a similar instance. They were down 11. It was, I think it actually was the final offensive snap of the game. Mac Jones got hurt and he missed three games. Now, you're still not trying to win. You're still, I mean, it, you know, whatever the, how much time is left. Yes, you're just saying, I don't even want to take a chance at this point. Screw it. Let him kneel it out. To me, Walter, the oh my God, they're raising the white flag moment, that's Belichick, was the punt with 12 minutes to go. You're down 17 points. The Bills are in about a 2-to-1 time of possession ratio. You do not give them the ball back. You do everything you can. And 4th and 6 at the New England 46 with 12 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, down 17 points, they punted. That, to me, was the moment. Yeah, I thought about the kneel downs and all that stuff, but, man, doesn't trust his offense, doesn't have the quarterback who can make a play. We're down 17. Let's give the other team the ball back. Even though they had like a 9-minute, 94-yard drive on us this half, let's punt. That's, I mean, it's great to watch. Let's.
They punted on a 4th and 1 on the very first possession. Granted, it's their own 29, but, you know, if you want to be serious about trying to beat the Bills and you're them, you should probably do that. They punted on a 4th and 2 on their second possession. Or, I'm sorry, third possession. So a punt on 4th and 1, punt on 4th and 2. You know, you're playing the Bills. And you're them.
And by that third possession, they had fallen behind, right? They were then trailing 10-7, I believe, because then the Bills made it 17-7 on the third drive. Yeah, you know, when you don't have a quarterback and an offense that can make plays, you punt. Like, they coach the game hoping their defense and special teams will get scores for them. 803-0550 to join us. Let's see. We are off to... hang on a second. Let's go to Maureen next. You're on WGR. Go ahead, Maureen.
Good morning, gentlemen. You're the reason I get up so early.
Me too. I'm the reason we get up so early, too. So whatever. Go ahead.
Well, you're getting paid for it.
That's true. I'm sorry to hear that.
No, it's okay. I love how you can go by every play. I couldn't keep up with things, but I really love the pregame and the middle, you know, in between the halves and the postgame panel. This group is so on target and so relevant to everything that's going on in the game. Last night, the features that they had between Fitzpatrick and Josh, and, you know, really focusing on the area, the team, the mafia. Josh came off so great at the end in the post game stuff. They did an interview with Diggs, and it really highlights the team as such a unit that they're all for each other. I love the thing with all the different handshakes, how they do that. Everybody other than Tony Gonzalez, who's kind of a downer, but I just think that the way they approach discussing the game, they're so relevant. You know, you look at CBS and, you know, I think Thursday night football is going to overtake anything that happens on Monday night. That's just such a dull.
I'm going to let Jeremy handle this because you brought this up earlier in the season when you saw, actually before the season, when you saw the talent they were putting together, the former players they were using on
the broadcast. It's the best broadcast the NFL has, is the Amazon broadcast. How about during the game? You know, Maureen, you bring up the panel, and that's very true. Fitz, Andrew Whitworth, Richard Sherman, those guys have relationships with guys in the league. I mean, that's one of the reasons that they get really good interviews. They can get those features set up. How about during the game?
You're going to bring up the offensive line sets?
Yeah.
That was amazing.
How about it?
That was so amazing.
How about an NFL broadcast highlighting your tackles and their splits and how many yards wide they're going?
Yeah.
How about it?
Never see that.
Ever in your life.
Right. I was fascinated by that.
Amazon's had football for 11 weeks.
Yeah,
and they're breaking ground that these other broadcasts couldn't even consider. What? Yeah. What do you mean?
Right.
Shouldn't we be talking about run and stop the run and we got to give it in third and long and talking about momentum?
And knowing about the Bills' offensive tackles and the struggles they might have against their edge guys, specifically pointing out, guys, they're blocking differently. They're setting their tackles up differently. I saw that. I thought, that's brilliant by the Bills to do that. That's great coaching. But unbelievable catch by whoever caught it for them.
Yep. A couple times, though, those wide splits got ducked under. I mean, Bobby Hart, woof. A couple tough reps out there that the Bills survived. But, yeah, I mean, it's just it's a great, great broadcast. They do such a good job. I didn't even watch the Next Gen Stats broadcast. I do that for other games. I didn't do it this time. Maybe we should have.
We'll get some more of your calls as soon as we get back. We got open phone line. I got one open line. If you're on hold, please be patient. We're going to get to everybody. 803-0550 to join us. We'll make the smile even wider on your face this morning on this Football Friday with Crosby's. Start your day the Crosby's way.
Josh looks, going to throw. Pressured, moves to his right, out of the pocket, looks into the end zone, can't find anybody. Chase to the sideline, fires into the end zone, and it is caught. Gabe Davis makes the catch in the end zone.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Blocked in front. Here's a chance. Thompson holds it. Scores! He's done it again!
Another Tage Thompson goal.
Here's your stat on Tage Thompson. In the last 102 games, he has 53 goals. Yeah. Buffalo Sabre Stats had this on Twitter. He had 18 goals in his first 145 games. He has 53 in his last 102.
He is, and by the way, in tight, his stick handling, his reach, the goal he had in Detroit. I mean, it's just, he's amazing how he's deking people out around the net.
Yep.
He's, oh my God. Anyway, yes, let's get some more calls. Oh, I'm before I do that, that's one of the moments of the game last night from the Sabres lost to Colorado. Moments of the game brought to you by First Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go fourth to first.
Should we start calling the Sabres postgame show the six goals against postgame show? I mean, they give up goals. They give up goals a lot.
Wow.
It's a lot. Come on.
No,
it's a lot. And it's every night.
It's very good. We're getting connected with our fans. Off to Mike in the Falls. Thanks for holding on. Go right ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy Victory Monday.
You too.
Hey, so I want to talk about the OBJ visit today. And the possibility of getting him, and then also the possibility of us not signing him and him going somewhere else, of bringing in somebody that is a fan favorite, and well, maybe not as much now with some of the negative things he said, but someone that could probably help the team out fairly quickly and bring him back, someone like Cole Beasley on a veteran deal. With that cap space we have from restructuring Trey White's deal, and wondering what your thoughts may be on that. And then another quick thing I wanted to mention was watching the game last night, I noticed some new looks that Dorsey had on offense. I don't know if it's just something I haven't noticed before, but it was the first time in a while I saw him with two running back sets in the backfield and also noticed with four wide receivers, them having two wide receiver splits on both ends. So a couple new looks with Dorsey's offense. And trying to work Hines in a little bit, and I'm really liking what I'm seeing with James Cook.
I was thinking about Beckham for a couple things. Of course, to help the passing game, but also to help the run game. And the way that I mean that is, if they have three receivers that are very dangerous on the field at the same time, they can go to 11 personnel and they can run out of that, which is something that they did in the Brian Daboll offense a lot. Devin Singletary's first two seasons with the Bills, his percentage of carries against an eight-man or more box was lowest in the league. He got really good looks to run the ball. And I'm thinking back to the Chan Gailey offense and how well they ran the ball with C.J. Spiller. One of the reasons they were able to run the ball so well is they ran into light boxes. And right now this team is not exactly, from a personnel standpoint, threatening when they go three receiver sets. You're not as threatening as some other teams are, and maybe it could help them in the run game. To Beasley, McKenzie tweeted at him yesterday, and the Bills' wide receiver storyline here, like they activate John Brown. Did you see at the game Steve Smith, the retired receiver?
Didn't see.
He went up to Stephon Diggs and basically said something to the effect of, "I can still play." Like the Bills' receiver conversation is a little bit of a national, "Hey, you guys need a little more help here?" I don't know about Beasley.
I think the ship sailed with him.
Yeah, he's not in the league anywhere, and if he could contribute, you'd think he would be. But you could have said the same about John Brown.
And the other thing, too, is what we see last night, Jeremy, you pointed this out earlier. Cook's role expanded last night. Cook, that little pass underneath in the middle is something Beasley would get open over the middle. McKenzie has, again, been more active. McKenzie's been really good the last two games. He's getting more touches. He's catching more balls. So I think the Beasley ship has sailed to me, even if they don't get Beckham. If they get Beckham, the Beasley ship has sailed anyway.
Yep.
But I don't think it's happening, because I think you're now seeing them use those guys. Like it's a Beasley by committee with Singletary, Cook, McKenzie, and maybe more of Hines. Who knows? Hines was lined up as a wide receiver a lot last
night. He was, and did he really
do anything? He seemed like he was more of a decoy.
And when
just running around, going in motion.
When he did get the ball, either it got blown up in front of him or... Not a lot. I mean, he was on the field a bunch, like you said.
31% of the snaps, which I think is his highest total.
And motioned a lot.
Really.
But when it comes to actually contributing yards, it wasn't much.
Like, there were two running back sets last night where he was on the field with Singletary, he was on the field with Cook, but Hines was as a wide receiver and would go in motion or run a route, whatever. It wasn't necessarily, two guys lined up in the backfield all the time.
One last thing on the Beckham storyline. He visited the Giants yesterday. Anything come out of that? Anybody see any story?
No.
Right? ESPN report? Nobody? Nothing. Not a word. And he comes to town today.
Yep.
And he's going to Josh's house?
That was one of the reports yesterday said he was going to be spending some time at Josh's house. And, of course, Von Miller
said he's not going to leave.
He's not going to let him leave town. He's going to do his best to not let Beckham even leave town.
So
the story I read was that last night the Giants wine and dined him, and that this morning he would get a physical exam at the Giants facilities.
Before coming here?
Before coming here. But that was all I saw about the visit. Nothing about anything else.
All right, let's get a break. And if you're on hold, hang out. Hey, we got phone lines open for the first time. Well, since we started the show. So if you want to get in, maybe you're just waking up. Great. Shake the cobwebs out. Big win for the Bills last night in New England. And we're talking about all the aspects of the game this morning. What stood out to you the most from last night's win? 803-0550 to join us this morning. It is Football Friday on WJR, presented by Topps Markets. Rush to the Topps Red Zone for winning savings. And by Svetka, an official sponsor of the Buffalo Bills.
Josh waiting for the snap. Motion Singletary to the right side. Josh gives it to Devin Singletary, cruises into the end zone, touchdown Buffalo. A 1 yard touchdown run by Motor Singletary.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your
your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.